Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into a little trade reaction from my rookie drafts. And I'm going to release this a day early. So I'm doing Thursday trade day on Wednesday. So if you're all out of sorts, you've been just diving in to rookie drafts and you're like, why is this? I don't even know what day it is. Well, but here's why. Because I had made a whole bunch of trades and I want to get them to you so that way you can use them. Okay, so most of these are super flex. A majority of them are super flex. There's a handful that aren't. So I'll mention that where relevant and I'll sort of go through what my thoughts are. All right, so here we go. So for me, and I actually bought a shirt that said it's a great day for trading. And it's a day trading shirt, but it's actually... It was a dynasty trading shirt for me. And I wore it the opening day of Safe League's drafts. And I said, I'm going to trade this. And honestly, I didn't do a ton of moving out because I had done some preemptive moving out. I'll just say sort of as a strategic thing, I used my first round picks to get relevant contending assets a lot in advance. And that didn't always work, but I'll have to go back and I will go back and I'll do a full autopsy is not the right word, but a full review, I guess, and look at of the first that I had, what did I do with them and how many moves. I'll do a full thing. I might even do it for the book because I've been looking at some stuff in terms of some content. I think it'd be kind of interesting to see trace them all back. But anyways, so I had done a good chunk of trading out already along the way, either trading up for quarterbacks or whatever, and still had a bunch of first, but I was able to move them around. So all right, let's start with this. I'll start with one pre-draft. So 103 and a 2022 second for Michael Thomas and a 2023 first. I kind of viewed this as like Thomas is a little bit more valuable than the second, and I'll take him basically over Drake London this year. I'll pocket the value on that, and I'll just keep a roster spot open as well. Don't have to roster rookie wide receiver, and I like the chances of that pick to be early. So all that, my team's contending. Yeah, so we'll see how it all bakes out. But that was one that I could have gone a couple of different ways in terms of moving down, but I like I really like getting the future first here. And I was actually able to get a handful of future picks, so I was pretty excited about that. That was the first one before drafts open. That was on the 5th. All right, now to trade day. First one off the board, 112 and 212 for Juju Smith-Schuster and 207. This one was really easy for me. This was... I like Juju better than the options that I had, and I was basically able to slide up in the second round to get into a range where I thought I could get one of the injury way running backs that I needed. Now, the crazy part is I didn't realize that I didn't need to actually do that. But this is how I would go about addressing a need. Instead of drafting Christian Watson or Jahan Dotson or whoever at that range to address a need, trade back or use the assets to actually trade it for a player that can make a difference for you. Juju Smith-Schuster, this is a contending team. 112 was one last year. I have a good team all around. A rookie probably wasn't going to help me a ton. And I said, listen, I want a couple of things out of this draft. I need some contending assets, or I need a player that can help me, that can start on a playoff team. And I think Juju Smith-Schuster can do that. I said, and I want to replenish my stock at running back. Just keep churning out. And I'm deep, right? Again, this running back is probably going to be running back 7, 8, 9, something like that. I'm going to just keep replenishing that. And as my guys age out, as my guys turn over, I'm just going to keep replenishing them. And that's really what this was all about. So I was able to do that. So that's 207. So I get that 207. It gets on the clock, and someone offers me 208 to move up one spot. They said, I want to move up from 208 to 207. Here's a bunch of players on my team that I am interested in that I will trade you with 208 to move up one spot. And so Brian Robinson was my target, And I said, okay, I don't want to miss on Brian Robinson, because I thought I could actually get into the later part of the second round or early part of the third round as well to draft Davis Price as well. So that sort of going in the back of my mind. And so I said, okay, if I want to sit here and get – if I miss on Brian Robinson, I have other options. That's fine. But if I want to get Brian Robinson, is trading down one pick, are they jumping in front of me to snipe Brian Robinson? And so this is the trade that actually makes me – confirms that I am an absolute degenerate in terms of fantasy football. I spent about an hour researching this trade. And again, Jacoby Brissett-centric. I looked up all the information that I knew about the person. The person's actually put out content. I actually went and looked at a bunch of their content. And I looked at all of the prior rookie picks they have made in the history of the league. And I was able to determine that they hadn't drafted a rookie running back in the top 24 since the inception of the league, which sounds like it wasn't that many picks, but it was enough that I was like, all right, there's a clear lean here. They lean wide receiver on their roster. They lean sort of that fraudulent long-term build range. The Brian Robinson is probably not in their line. Yeah, so I that was basically my assessment. So I said, all right, I think I'm right. And listen, if the worst thing that happens is that I have to come back and draft Davis Price, that's fine. I had a couple of third round picks as well. So I knew I could move around if I needed to, later on, if I could move back or whatever. I had, I was fine sort of playing out the board, but I said, listen, I like the idea of having a shot on Brissett, because listen, if Watson, and I don't have Watson on this team, but if Watson's suspended for a year, Brissett can make a difference. And so that's one of those things. That's an asymmetry. It's either he's not going to matter or he can matter a lot. And again, what do I get from that? I don't know. But this was basically a free move back if I was right. Sure enough, I pull the trigger. He takes John Menchie. I get Jacoby Brissett for free. I get Brian Robinson. And listen, if I cut Brissett in August, nothing lost. Didn't lose anything. But I went in and did a bunch of research on this and was able to hit on that, and that was one that I was particularly proud of pulling off because I felt comfortable and confident doing it. I then did have extra thirds in this from a trade that I made in the season, the same league, and I was able to actually trade 307 and 312 up to 212 and take Tyrann Davis Price. So I was able to really hit what I would consider a winning successful draft out of this, add the wide receiver help that I needed, check. Take a couple of shots on replenishing the rookie, replenishing my running back core, check. And listen, take a cheap upside shot at quarterback. And ultimately, I've got to cut down a handful of players, but I should be able to do that relatively easily. There's a couple of guys on here that really aren't that relevant, but it was all aimed at my goal is to win a championship. How do I do that? The high upside outcomes. Davis Price, Brian Robinson. I don't know if Brissett qualifies as a high upside outcome, but listen, if Watson's suspended for the year, all of a sudden I'm dealing from strength and it costs me nothing to do. Again, people get worked up about drafting, about needing depth. Just be super frugal about it, right? Don't trade Jonathan Taylor for 7 seconds over the next 3 years so that way you can replenish your depth. Do it like this, right? Do it in micro moves over and over and over and over again, right? Marginal gains, and just that 1-2% shots, they add up over and over and over again, and we just keep doing it. And that's really the one of the lessons that I think is important to hit home is that. And those things can make a difference. Again, does Brissett matter? Probably not. But if he does, it was well worth the time spent. So we'll see there. It's a free shot. It's a free shot of the starting quarterback. And we'll see how it unfolds. Okay. Now let's turn here. I had a couple of mid first 106 and 111. And I I think I got it from a trade down from last year, where I was, I think it was a trade in season where I got the 106. Oh no, I know what this was. I wrote about this one. I'm sorry. I wrote about this trade in, I think it was a rebuilding guide or the 2022 AOD, one of the two of them. But this was my move down from Trevor Lawrence. And this is my move down. This was the move down that I made from Trevor Lawrence to basically 103. And I nabbed this first. That was 106. So I trade 106, that 106 that I inherited, and 111. I trade it up for 103, which is actually Kenneth Walker. Team's competitive. I'm not the biggest Kenneth Walker fan around, but he fell to 3. I said, listen, I'm fine and confident dealing in that middle second round, fine sitting there. If I want to trade back into the later first, I probably can do it as well. I could get to 110 with some of the later assets that I had on that team. Fine. Like, let's do this. Let's get a player that can make a difference for me. And if he does, that's great. I have another first on this team as well for next year in a different deal that I made. And listen, I'm really thinking about, how do I go up and add contending pieces, add difference makers to this team? I go up another tier in the rookie draft and really can say, hey, listen, now I have an asset, and I really view him as an asset that I can maybe flip, I can pivot, I can use to maybe if I need to upgrade a quarterback or a tight end situation, something like that. And if he pans out, he pans out. That's awesome. I love it. But it didn't really cost me much. Really was my take and my view on it. Ultimately, it turns out being he took Sky Moore and Jahan Dotson. I traded up to Kenneth Walker and Brian Robinson. I think I won the deal. Again, I like Jahan Dotson. I like Sky Moore. I think I get a sure bet in Walker, and I get something close to on par with those with a Dotson in terms of Brian Robinson, hopefully making an impact. So that's the deal there, and that's a team that has championship aspirations right now. So, again, we'll see with Walker. Walker actually slides in on this team as being behind Jacobs, Fournette, Eckler. And so he's probably in that 4 zone. Dylan's there too. So again, I have a bunch of consolidation pieces at this point. It's Walker, right? It is Jacobs, kind of in that range where I can make a pivot. I can make a move up. I've got Deshaun Watson, Stafford, and Rodgers. Like, I would love to trade Rodgers up the position. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I do have some depth at tight end as well. And honestly, wide receivers in need. So we'll see there in terms of some of those pivots, but I now have depth to deal with from the wide receiver position as a result of this move. And again, Brian Robinson now slides in with guys like Madison, Dylan, right? Some of the injury away guys that I have on this team. I actually have Burkhead as well, so however you treat him. But again, that's adding to just depth, right? How do you build depth? Just keep doing good profiles over and over and over and over again, and all of a sudden you're dealing from depth. That's how you do it. All right, another deal that I made here. Again, I've talked about this a lot. I have a hard time sorting out mid first round picks. So I said, well, let's arb it, right? How do I, instead of taking a pick at 107, it wasn't anyone that I wanted, how do I get that profile twice? And it took a little creativity. There was no buyer's market to move down. Again, I should have gotten more from this probably on paper, but it didn't much make a difference for me in terms of how it played out, which was, I was okay with it, right? I said, okay, let's see. I want to get basically, I'm fine taking a first round wide receiver. It's either going to be take one at 107 or take one at 112. I believe that they're largely random and we have a hard time sorting between them. And I'm not sure necessarily who I would take. I probably would have taken Jameson Williams if I'm looking at the board right. Yeah, Treylon Burks had gone off Garrett Wilson. So it was a wide receiver 4 type situation. Kenny Pickett had gone off as well. So there was it was probably going to be Jameson Williams. This was a team that I had taken over as an orphan. So adding some depth, reworking the roster construction a little bit didn't matter some to me. I said this one, We're going to take two first-round wide receiver shots. Trade down from 107 to 112. I'm inside that line of first-round wide receivers or Sky Moore, Christian Watson, James Cook, right? That's basically that top 12 if you add Pickett in there with the two running backs up at the top of the board. That's the first round as I sort of see it on my board. I said I'm inside that line at 112. That's fine. Let everyone else sort it out. I'll take an upside shot. Kadarius Toney. So I move from 107 to 112 for Kadarius Toney, and I did a swap from 407 to 312 too. So I upgraded. Yeah, into the late third round, which doesn't seem it didn't end up mattering a ton, because I wasn't able to sort of pivot up from that. That might seem marginal, but I was actually going to try and use that to get up in the late to the early third. If Davis Price fell to me, that was sort of in my mind's eye. It didn't end up happening, but that was an intentional thing where I could say, all right, instead of needing to move up later on to then include it to move up, let's just include this in this deal now, and maybe it gets me inside a line. It probably ended up not doing it, but that was an intentional move up piece there, moving from the fourth into the third. So that way I actually had 311 and 312 to move up into the higher third or into the second if I could get there, but it didn't end up being possible. But that's how it played out. Again, now I take Sky Moore at 112, so I see this really as Jameson Williams for Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. Again, we're picking random. I'll take two shots. We know or kind of have a suspicion that Kadarius Toney's on a positive track after year one. Some of the yards per route run data as well likes him. So all of that is how I found myself doing that deal. All right, next one here. This one is relatively easy. 108 for 201 and 301. I have done a couple of these deals. Again, marginal gains. And maybe it doesn't matter, but constantly trying to think of like, all right, how do I get every small little edge? And maybe one or two times a year it breaks for me. And if that happens, it can be a really positive situation. This one really, really mattered to me because I said, all right, I'm sitting here at 108. I kind of needed something to break right for me to move down to 201, but I thought there was a chance that it could happen. I kind of wanted to be in that Sky Moore, Christian Watson, Dotson range, James Cook. And I kind of said, listen, if I think I can move down here and still nab that tier and get to 301. And 301 is important because this is a bifurcated rookie draft. And again, know your rules and know how to exploit them. 301 picks the first pick in August. So having 301 is a huge advantage over having 212 because you get that all those months of advantage. And again, maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe it doesn't work out. But Arian Foster 1 year was that pick at 301. Like there's been some obvious ones. I think it was there was another running back situation that happened to be there as well. And it's always in demand because of all the information that's going on in training camp and the like, any injuries or anything like that. I think one of the running backs for the Rams, I don't remember the exact order of when that draft happened. I don't know if it was Sony Michel or what. I don't remember exactly the order of when everything went down last year, but that with the Akers injury, but that was relevant last year at 301 as well in these leagues. So that was something that I really set out to think about. How do I get more shares of that 301? So I end up getting a 201 and 301. The board breaks poorly. I have 208 as well. So I said, all right, it breaks poorly. Dotson goes in front of me. It goes Sky Moore, Watson, Dotson, right up, right, bang, bang, bang. 8, 9, 10, so that breaks poorly. And then Cook right off the board right in front of me. There's a rogue pick by Pickens there in front of me. So just a total bummer. It broke poorly. I said, you know what, I didn't have any market to trade down. I'm just going to take Rashad White. He's going basically at the top of this board in terms of guys that I would take. It's going White, Robinson, Price. And I said, well, I'll just take White here. I haven't been in this range a ton to take White. I'll take White first. And then maybe Robinson will fall to me. I had 208. Robinson didn't. Davis Price did. And boom, that's how it worked out. So, again, now I'm sitting at 301 for August. Really pumped up about that. One more that I actually did. I traded 212 straight up for 301. Same format. And I said, this is the best trade that I made all week. Traded that 212, which is the last pick of this May, to 301, which, again, unless that person snipes me, I have a huge edge because I have a full summer's worth of information that I can use. Maybe that's a pivot. Maybe other people are open to that. It's like waiting another day in the NFL draft. You get all that action, but it's with a ton more information. So again, in that league, there's potential for a start. There's some running back injuries. I believe Zamir White, a couple other guys, might even be Tyler Algiers available in that league. So those are all situations that could really break my way, break positively here over the next couple of months there. So again, know your rules and figure out how to exploit them. Okay, next up here I had 112 in a league, and I was actually able to trade it for 311 and a 2023 first. I shopped that offer to basically everyone. That person came up and was interested, and that was great because I wanted to move down. I'm a good team, and I figured, listen, I'll pocket that first, and I can use that later third-round pick in August. I'll do some roster construction with it, maybe a running back. I can take a free agent as well in that particular league. And they traded up for Christian Watson. So I was, again, not super, super helpful in terms of probably their 2022 outcome. They're a decent team, but don't have a ton of depth at running back in terms of guys. Like, there's, I think, a chance that this breaks well. They have a lot of guys at wide receiver, but not really many alphas at wide receiver, not many lead guys. They've got Andrews and Pitts as well, but it's not tight end premium. So all these things, like, this team probably is a playoff team, but it could break better than that for me, and we'll see how it unfolds. But I like that first over anything I was going to get at 112. Okay, next one up is Barkley, Ayuk, and 108 for Jamar Chase and Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson was an add-on to this deal that I got thrown in, which I liked in terms of potentially adding a flex option. I said that this one was purely, if I look back at this one in 24 months, which side am I going to regret not being on? And I'm not even a huge Jamar Chase fan, but I think, like, there's a really good chance that in 6 months that Jamar Chase is a clear answer to this one. And I think it's really hard that it goes the other way. So I said, I'll take Chase. Again, now I can maybe pivot. You know, is Jamar Chase at some point worth maybe a running back and a future first, something like that? I think that's the type of construction and deal that I could potentially do. So yeah, I was excited about that one, and we'll see sort of where that unfolds. All right, next day here, this was, as I'm recording this, is actually today, so I'm recording this late Tuesday night, 106, and I actually did a couple of Madison deals. So 106 for 110, again, we move back in that range, it's fine, let's pick up some additional stuff. Again, orphan adoption, so a later pick will help me in terms of rejiggering my roster. It'll also help me potentially move into that third round to nab a guy like Davis Price. Again, I'm thinking ahead in terms of, hey, just give me an extra asset to potentially do this with. And I pick up Madison. So Madison with this deal ends up becoming another injury away guy. Again, that's a shot that I maybe would have taken in the second round, something like that. I get it at as a move down a couple of spots. Again, I treat this basically as like a later second round pick to move down. Feels great. I end up getting a 110, and I get a offer to move down one spot for 211. So now this deal actually turns into 106 for 111, 211, 404, and Madison. So again, just being patient, say, hey, you guys want to sort this whole board out? Be my guest. Like, I don't have a particularly strong convictions about this. I just want assets. I want to remake my team a little bit, improve my roster construction. They traded up the person at 106 took Chris Olave. I moved back the person that traded from 11 to 10. They took Sky Moore. I said, listen, I'll take the same bet with a different quarterback. I took Christian Watson, and some other guys fell later on. I'm actually, as I'm doing this, I'm actually on the board, and it looks like Brian Robinson fell to me in the mid-second. So, again, doing some additional work here, and then I'm firmly in the range of Davis Price again at the late second. So just adding. And then all of a sudden, this is one of those DLF Dynasty Championship Series deals too, where that mattered to me in the perspective of Christian Watson was a target here. Because I said, listen, he's got some upside and it's a start two wide receiver league. I don't need to, and I'm not trying to protect floor as much as I'm trying to exploit ceiling. So willing and open to do that. Again, I don't have much. This roster stunk basically at the running back and the receiving positions. But again, able to add Madison, and I'll be able to add multiple guys in round two. All of a sudden, I'm churning it over and giving myself some options for some injury away guys and the like there to potentially have some good variants go my way this year. As I said, I did another one for Madison, 208. This was another orphan, 208 for 311 and Madison. At that point, I was past Robinson. That was Davis Price. But I said, listen, I think I can move down here. Move sort of past him and maybe come back up and get him. I do have multiple picks in the third round now that I went down and traded Madison. I maybe could come up later in the either early in the third round or late in the second. Again, I was unable to do that, but make that move down and potentially get that shot. That's where that came from. And again, now I'll have some opportunities to remake that in the later part of the third round as well. All right, next up here is 203. I don't think I mentioned this one before. So 203, this might sound a little bit the same. I went 203 to 206 and 306, which was... I said, okay, this is great. I'm basically moving back a couple of spots. This is perfect. I then was able to pick up 306. Again, that's probably an injury away type running back for me. And I get to 206, and someone offers me a couple of picks. Like, it was a swappity-do type deal. They wanted, like, they'll give me a second next year. They wanted a third this year and, like, flip thirds. Like, it didn't make a ton of sense. I just said, all right, listen, you give me your fourth, a second, a third next year, and you can have 206. And they did it. And I said, listen, there's a really simple calculus to me on a deal like this. Am I going to get a first for Brian Robinson, someone I take in this? Not sure. But listen, could I trade that second for someone in season to actually help me? And again, that allows me to, it doesn't force me to be right now. It allows me to, if my team direction turns out well, it allows me to use that with more information, and it allows me to capitalize on being right on my team direction generally. Then it allows me to basically pigeonhole myself into being right on a guy like Brian Robinson at 206. I can pocket the picks and say, all right, if my team turns out right, I know the deal that I can make instead of, hey, I have to try and pick between these guys. So that's really the angle there in terms of how that all breaks down. But that's my, I think it's what, 12, 13 trades. I realized as we were going along, I missed a couple on my list because of deals that actually went down. So, so that's really my approach here over the past few days. A couple of extra firsts out of this whole thing in the last week, I guess. Again, some extra second stuff, some extra picks next year. That's helpful. Some veteran target acquisition as well. Again, cheap bets, free bets, right? Those are all things, asset upgrades, right? It can go a whole bunch of different ways. And one thing I do want to, I think bears mentioning is, again, I mentioned this earlier, this is a really good way to build depth. And it's not being super opinionated in rookie drafts. It's saying, hey, listen, my goal is to get player profiles. And the rookie draft is a means to that end. It is not the selecting rookies isn't the end all be all. It is the actual means with which I'm trying to accomplish my ends, which is to win a championship and getting good assets. And by doing that, by willing to move around the board and taking multiple shots where I could take just one or take a pure upside shot, like the Brissett thing, right? Constantly, or moving from 212 to 301, right? Doing those little things can hopefully, if a couple of those things go right this year, some of those things can really work out and improve your odds. And that's all building depth. That's just improving your odds, right? Don't sacrifice your studs to build depth, right? Build your depth through being thrifty and smart and aggressive and intentional in your rookie drafts and in your startup drafts and your trade downs and all that stuff, right? All your ancillary moves. And, you know, one of the things that I actually went back and I looked at from earlier in the offseason, earlier, it was actually in the first wave of rookie drafts, Amari Cooper and Juju Smith-Schuster in 211. And I was just thinking about that, and I was like, all right, what's the odds that something like, and again, we talk about moving the hierarchy of assets and stuff like that, but just set all that stuff apart for a second. What's the odds that Amari Cooper really makes a huge, huge difference? How confident do I feel that he's a lot more likely to do that than Juju Smith-Schuster? And I get a free pick, right? And I get a pick to sort of sort that all out. Again, that's a way to build depth. That's a way to... it's not riskless, but in terms of player profiles and in terms of, you know, expectations, they're not that far off. And you're letting someone else make a very specific bet while you make the opposite side of the bet and get a pick upgrade there. And again, that's just fleshing out roster construction, or it allows you to move around the board or whatever. That's all really, really, I think, helpful stuff. So yeah, that's just some thoughts in terms of some rookie dealings that I've done. So maybe a dozen plus trades, something like that, over the past, it was like 15, 16 trades, I guess, over the past 2 days. So I hope that helps you. It gives you some ideas and stuff and where to potentially move around your board. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.